So, 2 weeks ago, I came on here on the air to assure you all that Worst Boys Guild was back. And as it turns out, that was not entirely the truth. I do understand that I missed the show last week. I actually did remember to do the show at one point during the day, and made plans to do an all Taylor Swift show because I have a lot of her music in my iTunes library, and of course, Folklore came out the Friday before that. And then I got caught up in whatever I was doing and completely forgot. But you'll all be pleased to know my calculus class ended, which frees up a lot of time, and I probably only have about 3 weeks before people are back on campus and they take my show away from me again. But we'll see. I'll keep doing it for as long as I'm on the schedule. I'm still pretty busy, but now less busy, and I'm only busy with stuff I like, which is computer science stuff, rather than calculus, which you could argue is computer science stuff. It was for my computer science degree, but I think everybody gets the difference between a calculus class and like a developer job and a computer and a data structures TA job. So I'm still busy, but I'm back. I'm going to commit, mostly because I am still on the schedule and I should honor that. And I miss doing the show. I really like doing the show. It's just things have gotten very crazy. It was a crazy month that I was enrolled in that class, and now that's over. And I got an A in the class, which is very cool of me, very hot of me. Not to brag or anything, though. It's like 6 a.m. It's way too early for me to be bragging about my grades. But I'm only bragging about one grade because I truly did not think I was going to do well in that class. So, congrats to me. Anyways, that was a long introduction, the gist of which is you are listening to Worst Boys Guild on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. I know most of the time lately you're not listening to Worst Boys Guild, but today you are. I'm CR, and this is my show, and let's get right to it. I have not selected songs. That would have been the perfect time to just cut to a song, but I feel it's important to disclose to you since I'm taping this ahead of time. So you can't bust me as I search frantically for a song to play. I feel it's only fair to let you know that I did not pick songs for this in advance. So when I said let's get right to it, that wouldn't have been the perfect time for a song to start, but I'm more honest than that. Now we're gonna get right to it, and I have no idea what song is gonna play in a few seconds, but you'll find out soon. Here you go.
Slow, but now I'm found. to stand. I threw open the window. Oh, I leaped into summer air. To all the rat children, step away from those buildings. I know you lost your love, man, but you got rivers in your eyes.
But lately, I've just been ridiculously sleepy. Like, I can't really stay awake comfortably for more than a few hours, which feels like a problem. Maybe. It definitely, when I'm supposed to be working and I'm just, like, struggling to stay awake, definitely feels like a problem then. When I am doing my radio show and struggling to stay awake, also feels like a problem then. And usually I can just take a nap right after work so that it's fine. But for the past 2 days, I've not taken a nap right after work. And now it's like 8 p.m. and I'm struggling to stay up. So I don't get that. And before you ask, I don't have the coronavirus. I don't go anywhere. I mean, my mom has to work, but like she plays it safe. We don't socialize. And I don't have any other anything that could even be considered a symptom of the coronavirus, and fatigue is not like a main symptom. Like, I would be worried if I had just one symptom and it was one of the main ones, but I'm just sleepy. Why am I so sleepy? This happens to me every time I get busy again after not being all that busy. Is I like am tired all the time and I'm like, what's wrong with me? Am I dying? Am I gonna die? Am I sick? Because I'm a hypochondriac, and then it's just that I need to take better care of myself. So, we'll see how that goes for me. I've got a busy semester ahead, so we'll see if this is the semester I finally learn to take halfway decent care of myself. We'll see. We'll see. But that's all to say I don't have a ton to talk about on the air, because my life is kind of boring. Because I mostly work and sleep. So I just don't have much news. I just don't. I mean, I always, whenever I FaceTime or call somebody, I scrounge up something that I can talk about. But nothing's coming to me at the moment. So let me just hop online and find a PSA. I think I'll read one this time. I feel like that's a good way to, I mean, it's good to get it out of the way early, that's for sure. What am I talking about? I like the PSAs. It's not something, it's no chore. I love serving my community. Here's one on logannoise.org, which is really good. I've met the guy who, like, is one of the main people, I think, for this Logan Noise activism, and it's really something. It's really interesting. I support it, although not all that actively. I very passively support it, but here's me showing support, reading their PSA online, or on the air. So here it goes. Annoyed by all the loud noise and vibrations from planes departing Logan Airport? Are you annoyed by all the loud airplanes that seem to constantly fly over on certain days? Our towns west of Boston are affected by greatly increased airplane noise and vibrations due to the FAA's Highways in the Sky decision. This means that on days with northwest winds, every single airplane departing from Logan Airport's runway 33L continues on just four narrow paths over specific sacrificial neighborhoods with near constant noise for the humans underneath as a result. Join with your neighbors who are trying to change this. Every complaint filed with Massport counts, but it's the first from each household that matters the most. For more information, just visit logannoise.org. That's logannoise.org. And this has been a public service message from the Logan Aircraft Noise Working Group and WMFO Medford Tufts Community Radio. It's serious. I mean, it might sound silly. It might sound like a superficial and not in my backyard type of complaint, but I mean, there have been studies showing that this kind of constant din does have physiological effects on people. So definitely if you're hearing airplanes going over your house all the time, file those complaints. It's not too hard to do, and you can do your part, hopefully getting this fixed. And why don't I go ahead and just find another song to play here. I think today's one of the days where I just dig up old stuff that's already in my library. I'll play a song from The Bones of What You Believe, which is, I believe it's Church's first album. I was obsessed with this album my freshman year of high school, and I stand by it. It's really good. The tricky part about how much I love this album is that there are a lot of really good songs on it that I like a lot. But the most famous one, The Mother We Share, is explicit, and it's the only explicit one on the album, so I won't be playing that. I think I will do the bonus track, Strong Hand. So here's Strong Hand by Churches. Enjoy.
Why don't you tell me what do you need? There is a blank page for you. Give me the bones of what you believe. Maybe they'll save you from me. Will I be the strong?
Again, that was Strong Hand by Churches. It's the bonus track, or one of the bonus tracks off of their album, The Bones of What You Believe. Let me think about what I've been up to lately. I work at IBM. Started as a summer intern, but now I'll be staying there through the entire semester, which I'm super excited about. This week is the first week without most of the summer interns. Like the general summer internship program ended this past Friday, the 7th. So it's been interesting. I mean, I only have one other intern on my team and he's still here for a couple more weeks, but there are like company-wide Slack channels for the interns and those have gone completely quiet, which is pretty different. But you know, good for those folks for going back to school. Good for me for not going back to school. I think I'm starting to feel, every day since I've made the choice not to go back to school, I've been feeling better and better about it, which is far preferable to feeling worse and worse about it. That's for sure. But it's very weird. No, I feel good about it. I mean, the Medford and Somerville mayors recently released like a statement asking Tony Monaco not to bring everybody back to Tufts, and of course he's going to anyways, but it's like, okay, Tufts students aren't wanted there for good reason because they're just gonna bring the virus back with them from, you know, I'm in Texas right now, we've got two friends going to Tufts from Florida, there are people from all over, I know somebody from Arizona, all over, and in a lot of states that aren't doing so hot with the virus right now. So it's understandable that the Medford Somerville residents don't really want people to come back and bring corona with them and party and hook up and socialize and all the things that college students will do no matter what. Plus the stuff that Tufts condones, like going to the gym, socializing in a socially distant way, going to class, etc. Even though it's all socially distant, it's, you know, of course it's not perfect. So I don't know. I mean, I'll be honest. I made the decision to not go back this semester, mostly thinking about myself. But I do also think that it's like the right thing to do to not be part of spreading the disease, not be part of a host community that doesn't want us around. I mean, Somerville's one of the densest cities in the country. So it's definitely not ideal to, it's probably pretty difficult to curtail the virus there, I would imagine. I don't know. There are lots of different factors, sets of factors that contribute to people either going back or not going back, so I definitely understand. But it's interesting seeing what Harvard did. I mean, Tufts announced they were sending everybody home a few hours after Harvard did, and now Harvard's only bringing people back if they need to come back due to, I mean, you know, Tufts had the application system to stay on campus when they sent everybody home. And it's this general, like, if you're from a toxic home environment or low income or an international student, whatever, Harvard's pretty much keeping those same guidelines in place for deciding who's invited back for the semester. But either way, all their classes are virtual. And it's just tough. I mean, Tufts does not have the endowment that Harvard has. And that's just the, that's the sound of me fidgeting with my headphone cord. Sorry, I'm sure that's not pleasant. Tufts doesn't have the endowment that Harvard has, and I don't think they can really afford to not collect as much tuition money. But who knows? Maybe if they'd done like the 10% tuition discount that Princeton is doing, I'm sure they would have gotten some more people to go back. But the truth is, a lot of people are going back anyways, so. So it probably would not have been a net positive. Like, the number of people who decided to go back because of the tuition discount probably wouldn't have balanced out the difference in tuition for everybody. Tufts' version of that tuition discount is they're relaxing the residency requirement for people who choose to go back. So people can go back this semester and then choose to save a bunch of money and just kind of get out as soon as they can by finishing college up to a year early, which I think it's interesting. I wish they'd relax the residency requirement for me so I could still graduate with all my friends, but I'll work it out. It always feels weird to talk about coronavirus on the radio because I know everybody's having this conversation all the time. But I love giving my opinions. what can I say? I've been reading Don Quixote lately, and by reading it, I mean over the weekends I read for several hours, and then during the week I barely read at all, and again, just work and sleep and work and sleep. But over the weekends I do read, so I'm making slow and steady progress, and it is really good. I got into it because I was like, okay, it's a classic, it's good to read the classics, I'm an English major, I should be caught up on this kind of literature. Whatever, but, no, it's surprising me with just how much I enjoy it, especially because it's from, like, the 1600s. I feel like it's easy to forget that people back then were had just the same, like, natural intellect as far as what people are born with. You know, they had pretty much the same intellect that we do now. Definitely had the same range of emotions and everything that we do now, which is hard to imagine because that's a time period when people would, like, get stabbed with swords. I don't think I'd handle it super well if I got stabbed with a sword. But people still went to war and stabbed each other with swords, and it's like, ooh, like, so many intensely terrible things would happen that I think it's easier to just compartmentalize that and imagine that people didn't really have the same range of feeling that we now do. But of course that's not the case. And this book is just really funny and pleasant and good. And it's reminding me that it's like, oh, people have pretty much always been the same. I mean, especially for the past like 4,000 years. You know, evolution doesn't happen that fast, so people have been basically the same that whole time. It's interesting. And reading has been nice. It's really relaxing. It's like my one hobby that has stuck and hung on while I've been working. I still play guitar, but not too much. I'm not learning many new songs, which is okay. But reading is the only hobby that I've actually probably started to spend more time on since I got busy with work. I think I mentioned this the last time I did the show, but I will be living this fall in Connecticut with a group of people, and I'm really excited about that. This episode of the show is turning into just I talk about my life and everybody patiently pretends to care. No, but I'm living in a house with 5 Sunrise activists. An acquaintance of mine is in the Tough Sunrise Hub and the leadership of that. So he organized this whole thing for people to live together and volunteer with Sunrise full time. And as it turns out, and as I've only mentioned a bajillion times, I will be working full time and part time. So I will definitely not be doing Sunrise volunteering full time, but they're letting me live with them anyways, which is very cool of them. And everybody's super nice. So I am really excited. We've been talking over Zoom fairly regularly, and they're all really, really great people, and I'm genuinely very excited to live with them. I've been having a mini crisis lately over how all my friends are men. ooh, sorry. Just blew into the mic. Over how all my friends are men. But this living situation is me, and then the other 5 people are 1 straight cis man, and then 4 women, who I think are all queer. In some way, all LGBT in some way. Still don't know how I feel about the use of the umbrella term queer, but it's like so permeated with people my age that I use it now. I think it better encompasses like questioning and gender queer people than maybe LGBT does. Not for any literal reason, just connotation wise, because LGBT is an older term. I don't know, that's just, there's absolutely no basis for that, though. Just a weird association I have. Yeah. There are the updates on my life. The 2 tracks I've played on the show so far this morning have been completely different from each other. Don't flow well into each other at all. But let me go onto my iTunes and pick another track, and we'll see if it's just another one that's going to give you whiplash, or if it's going to be a little more, like, fitting, or what. I have a lot of Counting Crows on here. I my freshman year of high school was obsessed with Counting Crows. I think they were quite literally the only music I listened to. I think I barely listened to other music because I had them on iTunes and didn't have any streaming service. Just listened to those albums over and over again. I would say I stand by that, but I do not stand by the pattern of only listening to one band. I do not want to go back to that. I've now been doing this show for long enough that I am finally not able to recall off the top of my head whether I've played any given song on the show. So, if we get a repeat, I apologize. Okay, here's a classic. To me, at least, this is a song I've heard a million times in my life because it was on my mom's iPod that she had hooked up to her car growing up. It's Shattered, parentheses, Turn the Car Around by OAR. It's definitely got to be their most famous song. So if you've heard OAR, you've heard this song. Here it is.
In a way, need a change from this burnout scene. Another time, another town, another everything. But it's always back to you. Stumble out in the night under pouring rain. Made the block, sat and thought, there's more I need. It's always back.
Take.
Alrighty, and my life is boring, so let's just go right into some more music. Maybe I should keep going with throwbacks, because when I scroll through my iTunes library, it's pretty much throwbacks, mostly, that I've got on here. I've also got some St. Vincent, got some Slater Kinney I could play. Mostly, I have Called the Doctor. That's pretty much all the Slater Kinney I have. Yeah, here's My Stuff by Slater Kinney, and then whatever song I decide to play right after that, which, based on my patterns so far this morning, is probably not gonna mesh well with My Stuff, even a little bit. But here's My Stuff by Slater Kinney off of Call the Doctor. Play two songs back to back, but I'm just butting in here to say this album is super important to me. It's got to be in my top five albums of all time, and it's only half an hour, so definitely take a listen. I was obsessed with this album towards the end of high school, and again, still super important to me. It's just one of those things where you listen to an album all the time during a certain part of your life, and it just comes to really represent that part of your life. So this was my senior year of high school when I just could not wait to get out of high school. I was completely checked out. All I cared about was getting into college and being not at school as much as possible. But this album always, I don't know if it gave me comfort. I mean, it's a punk album. Like, it's not, it just made me feel good. I don't know. It's also interesting. Now I can recognize, of course, I didn't realize at the time. Now I can recognize that one of the things I love about Slater Kinney that is completely inexplicable is just, like, listening to their older music. Like, maybe not the post-reunion albums, but, like, their original albums. And, like, singing along to Cary Brownstein's parts is... I never understood what the feeling was that I was feeling when I did that, and I've only recently come to realize that it's the absence of dysphoria, which is super fun. And I couldn't tell you why. It just, it feels like power, and it feels like comfort. It feels like actually doing everything that you can do in, like, the body that you have, and as the person that you are, and as a woman, and being comfortable. It feels like ownership of womanhood and ownership of a female body to me, I guess. I don't know. I'm not trying to explain feelings about gender, which to me is impossible. It's impossible and uncomfortable for me to really explain how I feel about my gender. So it's silly of me to try to explain why listening to that music and singing along makes me feel not dysphoric. It just does. I don't know why. It's just a little fun fact about me. A little oversharing for 5:38 a.m. 6:38 a.m. I'm in Central Time, so it'll be 5:38 a.m. when this airs there. But hope you enjoy that. I've been scrolling through. I did not realize how much Coldplay I owned on iTunes. Just not seem trying to find something that would go well with Sleater-Kinney. And I own a lot of Coldplay. I've discovered that I own the whole album Bastille, Bad Blood. Why did I phrase that so weird? I own Bastille's Bad Blood, the whole album, with all the bonus tracks, which I'm not super proud of. I listened to the first 49 seconds of Things We Lost in the Fire, and it's, the chorus is kind of catchy, but, it's not good. And then that's also the album with, the A-O, A-O, A-A-O, A-O song, and that's not good either. I don't know why I bought that album, but it happens. I'm trying really hard not to play Coldplay, but I own songs from 6 different albums. I don't own 6 albums. I own, probably 6 or 7 songs. Let's see. Looks like I own... I own Fix You, which is hilarious. I own 7 songs from 6 different albums, so it's just it's taking up a lot of space in my iTunes library. I don't want to play Coldplay, though. I don't. I really need WMFO to get our, music database back so that I am not drawing inspiration from my middle school music taste. But a decent amount of it holds up, so I am doing quite all right. Again, it's also just an issue of what have I played on the show before. Let's do Skinny Love by Bon Iver. I own it. It's a great song. Everybody knows it. Here it is.
In the morning I'll be with you, and it will be a different kind.
And next, you're actually going to get a song that melds well with the previous song, which has not happened so far today, but is really exciting. I just realized, for a really long time, I've wanted to play the trapeze swinger on this show, because it's an amazing song. It was my favorite song in the world for quite a long time, but it's 9 minutes, and I was always worried about burning up 9 minutes of my show on one song. Even if it is an amazing song. But today I kind of just don't have a ton to talk about. I've already done my PSA, so here you go. This is The Trapeze Swinger by Iron and Wine. It's off of their album Around the Well, which is a collection of like B-sides and stuff. They're also, you should check it out on YouTube. There is a version that's live at Austin City Limits that is super good. It's a little different, but I really love that one a lot as well. Definitely check it out on YouTube. If you just Google The Trapeze Swinger Live at ACL, or YouTube The Trapeze Swinger Live at ACL, it'll be the first result probably. And check it out. But this is the Trapeze Swinger by Iron and Wine. And I will chop out the curse word. Don't worry.
Some eloquent graffiti. mother not to worry, and angels with their gray handshakes, but always done in such a hurry. Making fools of all the neighbors, our faces painted white by midnight. We'd forgotten one another, and when the morning came, I was ashamed. Only now it seems so silly. I make the pearly gates
Again, amazing song. This is like my favorite song. In the time period when I only listened to Counting Crows, I also listened to this song specifically, and it was my favorite song on the entire planet. It's really good. Now looking back, I think maybe part of why I liked it so much was a little bit of like the lyrics are so deep. Like, he gets it. And I don't think the lyrics are corny. I think maybe how seriously I took the lyrics might have been a little bit corny, or like how seriously I took song lyrics in general back then might be a little bit corny. I definitely used to listen to music mostly for the lyrics, and I don't do that anymore. And I think it opens you up to a bit of corniness, because you're like, oh, like, this person's smart. This person's a poet. They get life. They're going to explain life to me. And now I'm not so sure that I think that that is the role of music. I think it's great when music makes me stop and, like, consider myself, but most music does not teach me anything about life, the world, or the human condition, and that's okay with me. Even though I am an English major and like poems. It's still a great song, though. I still enjoy the lyrics. I think they're really nice. I think it's a really nice poem, and it's set to nice music. So it's great. It's more just a little bit embarrassing to think about how much I was like, he understands. He's Iron Wine on almost like a profit level with a PH, not like money profit. I don't know. This is more of me trying to explain my feelings, and this is from like 6 years ago, so I can't really do that because my memory's not that good. But kind of just talking to talk. I'm on the air for another 2 minutes, so kind of just talking to talk. But I probably should go ahead and wrap up the show, because I always think that it's only going to take me like 20 seconds to wrap up the show, and then I completely run out of time. So I keep blowing into the mic. You guys are just trying to drive to work, and you're getting like my nose breath pointing down at the headphone microphone. So my apologies for that. But this has been another episode of Worst Boys Guild. Thank you very much for listening. I hope they let me keep my show this semester. I'm not entirely sure that they will, though. I don't really know what's going on. But I'm sure they'll send out another update soon, because WMFO is very run very professionally. With Tufts restrictions on, like, club activity, they're basically saying it has to be necessary for people to meet in person. I think that since going to do a show, it's not recording a show, it's actually live. Radio? Live? Astounding. Going to do a show is usually kind of a solo process, unless it's a multiple DJ show. Like, you just let yourself into the studio and then start recording, taping. You don't have to check in with anybody. So I bet they'll be able to arrange in-person studio time. And then I will probably not be taping and uploading my show every week. So if that's the case, then I only have like 2 or 3 more shows to do, which is sad, but maybe they'll let me keep it. Who knows? Either way, I really, really appreciate you guys listening to Worst Boys Guild. Even though I have been inconsistent lately, I really enjoy doing this. Even though I sound dry, I'm really having a good time. And I appreciate all my listeners. This is WMFO in Medford. You have a great Wednesday. And this is Worst Boys Guild. I'm CR. Bye.